Welcome to day 181 of my Everyday Bible with Rita Langland. Today we will be reading from 2 Chronicles chapters 19 through 23 in the Amplified Bible. And in these passages of scripture that we'll hear today, we will hear a magnificent story about King Jehoshaphat trusting the Lord and seeing a miraculous deliverance in battle from the enemies that came against him. And it's a great encouragement for us today, which we'll talk about at the end in our devotional time. So beginning at 2 Chronicles chapter 19, starting at verse 1. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned safely to his house in Jerusalem. Jehu, son of Hanani the seer, went out to meet him and said to Jehoshaphat, "Should you help the ungodly and love those who hate the Lord? Because of this, wrath has gone out against you from the Lord. But there are good things found in you, for you have destroyed the Asherim out of the land and have set your heart to seek God with all your soul's desire." Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem. And he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim and brought them back to the Lord, the God of their fathers. He appointed judges throughout all the fortified cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, "Be careful what you do, for you judge not for man but for the Lord, and he is with you in the matter of judgment. So now let the reverence and fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed what you do, for there is no injustice with the Lord our God, or partiality, or taking of bribes." Also in Jerusalem, Jehoshaphat set certain Levites, priests, and heads of families of Israel to give judgment for the Lord and decide controversies. When they of the commission returned to Jerusalem, the king charged them, "Do this in the fear of the Lord, faithfully, with integrity and a blameless heart. Whenever any controversy shall come to you from your brethren who dwell in their cities, between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgments, you shall warn and instruct them that they may not be guilty before the Lord. Otherwise, wrath will come upon you and your brethren. Do this, and you will not be guilty. And behold, Amariah, the chief priest, is over you in all matters of the Lord, and Zebediah, son of Ishmael, the governor of the house of Judah, in all the king's matters. Also, the Levites will serve you as officers. Deal courageously, be strong and do, and may the Lord be with the good." Chapter 20. After this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and with them the Meunites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. It was told Jehoshaphat, "A great multitude has come against you from beyond the Dead Sea, from Edom, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi." Then Jehoshaphat feared and set himself determinedly as his vital need to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast in all Judah. And Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord, yearning for him with all their desire. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did not you, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They dwelt in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, 'If evil comes upon us, the sword of judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name and the symbol of your presence is in this house.' and cry to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now, behold, the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they turned from and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not exercise judgment upon them? For we have no might to stand against this great company that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And all Judah stood before the Lord, with their children and their wives. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. He said, "Hearken, all Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, the Lord says this to you, be not afraid or dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down to them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the ravine before the wilderness of Jeruel. And you shall not need to fight in this battle. Take your positions, stand still, and see the deliverance of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping him. And some Levites of the Kohathites and Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe and remain steadfast to his prophets, and you shall prosper." When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers to sing to the Lord and praise him in their holy priestly garments as they went out before the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. And they were self-slaughtered. For suspecting betrayal, the men of Ammon and Moab rose against those of Mount Seir, utterly destroying them. And when they had made an end of the men of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. And when Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked at the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to the spoil, they found among them much cattle, goods, garments, and precious things which they took for themselves, more than they could carry away. So much they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Barakah. There they blessed the Lord. So the name of that place is still called the Valley of Barakah, blessing. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, Jehoshaphat leading them to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with harps, lyres, and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Thus Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began his 25-year reign in Jerusalem. His mother was Azuba, daughter of Shilhi, and he walked in the ways of Asa his father and departed not from it, doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. But the high places of idolatry were not taken away, for the people had not yet set their hearts on their father's God. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, from first to last, they are written in the records of Jehu, son of Hanani, which are in the book of the kings of Israel. After this, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, joined with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. He joined him in building ships to go to Tarshish, building them in Ezion-Geber. Then Eleazar, son of Dodavahu of Marashah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, "Because you have joined Ahaziah, the Lord will destroy your works." So the ships were wrecked and unable to go to Tarshish. Chapter 21. Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with them in the city of David. Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. He had brothers, Azariah, Jehiel, Zechariah, Azariah, Michael, and Shephatiah, all the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. Their father gave them great gifts of silver, gold, and precious things, together with fortified cities in Judah. But the kingdom he gave to Jehoram, the firstborn. When Jehoram had ascended to the kingship of his father, he strengthened himself and slew all his brethren with the sword, and also some of Israel's princes. Jehoram, at 32 years of age, began his 8-year reign in Jerusalem. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, as did the house of Ahab, for he married the daughter of Ahab and did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord. But the Lord would not destroy the house of David, because he had made a covenant with David and promised to give a light to him and to his sons forever. In Jehoram's days, the Edomites revolted from the rule of Judah and set up for themselves a king. Then Jehoram passed over the Jordan with his captains and all his chariots and rose up by night and smote the Edomites who had surrounded him and his chariot captains. So Edom revolted from the rule of Judah to this day. Then Libna also revolted from Jehoram's rule because he had forsaken the Lord, the God of his fathers. Moreover, he made idolatrous high places in the hill country of Judah and debauched spiritually the inhabitants of Jerusalem and led Judah astray, compelling the people's cooperation. And there came a letter to Jehoram from Elijah the prophet, saying, "Thus says the Lord, the God of David, your forefather, because you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat, your father, nor in the ways of Asa, king of Judah, but have walked in the way of Israel's kings, and made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem play the harlot, like the spiritual harlotry of Ahab's house, and also have slain your brothers of your father's house, who were better than you. Behold, the Lord will smite your people and your children, your wives, and all your possessions with a great plague, and you yourself shall have a severe illness because of an intestinal disease until your bowels fall out because of the sickness day after day." And the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the anger of the Philistines and of the Arabs who were near the Ethiopians. They came against Judah, invaded it, and carried away all the possessions found in and around the king's house, together with his sons and his wives, so there was not a son left to him, except Jehoahaz, the youngest. And after all this, the Lord smote Jehoram with an incurable intestinal disease. In the process of time, after 2 years, his bowels fell out because of his disease. So he died in severe distress. And his people made no funeral fire to honor him like the fires for his fathers. 32 years old was Jehoram when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, and departed without being wanted. Yet they buried him in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. Chapter 22. The people of Jerusalem made Ahaziah his youngest son king in his stead, for the troop that came with the Arabs to the camp had slain all the older sons. So Ahaziah, son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began his 1 year reign in Jerusalem. His mother was Athaliah, a granddaughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. So he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after his father's death to his destruction. He followed their counsel and even went with Jehoram, son of Ahab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael, king of Syria, at Ramoth-Gilead. And the Syrians wounded Joram, and he returned to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds given him at Ramah when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria. Azariah, son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Joram, son of Ahab, in Jezreel because he was sick. But the destruction of Ahaziah was ordained of God in his coming to visit Joram. For when he got there, he went out with Joram against Jehu, son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to destroy the house of Ahab. And when Jehu was executing judgment upon the house of Ahab, he met the princes of Judah and the sons of Ahaziah's slain brothers who attended Ahaziah, and he slew them. And Jehu sought Ahaziah, who was hiding in Samaria. He was captured, brought to Jehu, and slain. They buried him, for they said, "After all, he is the grandson of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart." So the house of Ahaziah had no one left able to rule the kingdom. But when Athaliah, mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal family of Judah. But Jehosheba, the daughter of the king, took Joash, infant son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons who were to be slain, and she put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jehosheba, daughter of King Jehoram, sister of Ahaziah and wife of Jehoiada the priest, hid Joash from his grandmother Athaliah so that she did not slay him. And Joash was with them, hidden in the house of God 6 years, and Athaliah reigned over the land. Chapter 23. In the 7th year, Jehoiada the priest took strength and courage and made a covenant with the captains of hundreds, Azariah son of Jehoram, Ishmael son of Jehohanan, Azariah son of Obed, Maaseiah son of Adaiah, and Elishaphat son of Zichri. And they went about in Judah and gathered all the Levites out of all the cities and the chiefs of the fathers' houses of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. And all the assembly made a covenant in the house of God with the king, little Joash, to suddenly proclaim his sovereignty and overthrow Athaliah's tyranny. And Jehoiada the priest said to them, "Behold, the king's son shall reign, as the Lord has said, of the offspring of David. This is what you shall do. A third of you priests and Levites who are resuming service on the Sabbath shall be doorkeepers. A second third shall be at the king's house, and the final third at the foundation gate, and all the people shall be in the courts only of the house of the Lord. But let none come into the main house of the Lord except the priests and those of the Levites who minister. They may go in, for they are holy. But let all the rest of the people carefully observe the law against entering the holy place of the Lord. And the Levites shall surround the young king, every man with his weapons in his hand, and whoever comes into the house, breaking through the ranks of the guard to get near Joash, shall be put to death. But you be with the king when he comes in from the temple chamber where he's hiding and when he goes out." So the Levites and all Judah did according to all that Jehoiada the priest had commanded, and took every man his men who were to resume duty on the Sabbath with those who were to go out on the Sabbath. For Jehoiada the priest did not dismiss the divisions of priests and Levites. Also, Jehoiada the priest gave the captains of hundreds spears, bucklers, and shields that had been King David's, which were in the house of God. And he set all the people as a guard for the king, every man having his weapon, missile, in his hand, from the right side to the left side of the temple, around the altar and the temple. Then they brought out the king's son and put the crown on him and gave him the testimony or law and made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, "Long live the king." When Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she went into the Lord's house to the people. And behold, there the king stood by his pillar at the entrance, the captains and the trumpeters beside him, and all the people of the land rejoicing and blowing trumpets, and the singers with musical instruments led in singing of praise. Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, "Treason! Treason!" Then Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of hundreds who were over the army, "Bring her out between the ranks, and whoever follows her, let him be slain with the sword." For the priest said, "Do not slay her in the Lord's house." So they made way for Athaliah, and she went into the entrance of the horse gate of the king's house. There they slew her. Then Jehoiada made a covenant between himself, all the people, and the king, that they should be the Lord's people. Then all the people went to the house of Baal, tore it down, broke its altars and its images in pieces, and slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. Also, Jehoiada appointed the offices and officers for the care of the house of the Lord under the direction of the Levitical priests, whom David had distributed in his day in the house of the Lord, to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord as written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and singing as ordered by David. Jehoiada set the gatekeepers at the gates of the house of the Lord so that no one should enter who was in any way unclean. And he took the captains of hundreds and the nobles and governors of the people and all the people of the land and brought down the king from the house of the Lord. And they came through the upper gate to the king's house and set the king upon the throne of the kingdom. So all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet after Athaliah had been slain with the sword. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I want to focus on the great battle that Jehoshaphat faced and how he got the victory with a very secret weapon or spiritual weapon that brought him phenomenal victory. You remember the story in 2 Chronicles 20 that we just read. King Jehoshaphat was in big trouble. He had just received word that a huge enemy army, which eyewitnesses described as a great multitude, was heading his way. He knew he did not have enough soldiers or weapons to handle such an attack with the natural resources available to him. His response to the pressure of that crisis is a lesson for us in our own lives today. And truthfully, I believe it reveals his understanding of a secret weapon that is at the disposal of God's people. In the beginning of chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles, we find that these enemies of Judah had gathered together as one army to make war against Judah, King Jehoshaphat and his people, the people of Judah. And I think it's interesting what the king's response was when he got this news. He did not summon his generals and mobilize the army. Instead, the scripture tells us that he set himself to seek the Lord and he called for a nationwide fast. Can you imagine? That was the first response to hearing he was about to be attacked by this huge and vast army. Now, when you face a crisis in your life or any kind of a battle, what is your very first response? Most people immediately try to fix the problem in their own strength. They kind of come up with an answer, try to figure out how to deal with the problem with their natural resources. And then, and really only then, when they run out of natural resources or options, do they turn to God for his supernatural resources. I have really noticed this, that even among believers, God is often the last resort when facing a problem. However, in King Jehoshaphat's case, God was his first resort. He went to God first. And truly, this is a word of wisdom for us when we are facing a crisis or difficulty. A second observation that can be made is how the king prayed about his crisis. How did he actually approach the Lord? He started his prayer by telling the Lord about the greatness of his power and might. I love that. He started his prayer out this way. O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Then he progressed in his prayer by recalling how God had delivered his nation from past enemies. This is a critical piece of the victory puzzle, both for King Jehoshaphat and for us. Most people pray to God in a crisis by pouring out how terrible the problem is and how the devil is tormenting them, essentially magnifying the work of Satan himself. By the time they finish with that, they are so upset and anxious that they've forgotten all the times that God has intervened and delivered them in the past. Essentially, the enemy and the problem they have become bigger than God in the minds of people who pray like that. King Jehoshaphat did not pray about the crisis he was facing in that way. Instead, he magnified God's might and ability to intervene rather than the enemy's ability to destroy. Then he calmly stated the problem to God. And he told, I love this, he told the Lord that the enemy was coming to drive us out of your possession, which you gave us to inherit. That is how he presented the case. God had promised that the descendants of Abraham would possess the very land that King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah were currently occupying. So, King Jehoshaphat plainly asked the Lord to deal with the enemy whose aim was to steal God's promise from them. Now, this is very powerful. Think about it. In our lives, the enemy of our souls, Satan himself, is constantly trying to drive us out of the inheritance that God has given us to possess. When Jesus died on the cross, he won for us a possession that he intended for us to inherit. Galatians 3:13 and 14 tells us that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, under the curse, which is listed in Deuteronomy 28, was sickness, disease, financial distress of every sort, as well as spiritual separation from God. So think about this. The possession that Jesus died for us to inherit includes restored intimacy and friendship with God, physical health, mental health, emotional health, and material provision. These were the blessings of Abraham that Galatians 3:14 said were supposed to come to the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. This is the inheritance that the enemy tries to steal from each one of us. When you face a crisis, whether it's a health crisis, a financial crisis, or a personal crisis, you need to pray like King Jehoshaphat prayed, by telling God that the enemy is trying to drive us out of your possession, which you gave us to inherit. This is a spiritual secret. King Jehoshaphat ended his prayer that day with these words, "For we have no power against this multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." That was a very powerful way to end the prayer. Then the next verse of scripture tells us that the people of Judah simply stood before the Lord waiting for an answer from God. That is a beautiful picture, and it's a beautiful spiritual lesson for us. If your eyes are upon God, you will be willing to wait for His answer. We don't know how much time elapsed between verse 13, where the people stood waiting there in 2 Chronicles, and verse 14, when the answer of the Lord came through the prophet. But the good news is that when our eyes are upon God and we wait upon Him, rather than trying to take matters into our own hands, which is certainly a temptation every single time we're in a crisis, we can be assured, if we'll wait upon God, that He will answer. In 2 Chronicles 20, 14 to 17, the word of the Lord that came to the people of Judah that day as they waited was this. Number one, the prophets speaking for the Lord told them, number one, don't be afraid of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I want you to listen to this as if God Himself is speaking through the prophet to you about the battle that's against you right now. So you know you're in a battle. You know there's an enemy that's bigger than you. You know the problem that's bigger than you. You don't know what to do. Your eyes are on the Lord. And now the Lord's answering you. Listen to it. Number one, don't be afraid of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Secondly, go down against them, but you will not need to fight. Number three, position yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of God. I'm telling you, God is saying the same thing to you that He said to the people of Judah and King Jehoshaphat that day. Don't be afraid of the great multitude that is against you. Regardless of how big your crisis is right now, do not focus on the problem. Look to God. If you focus on the problem, it will be very easy to fall into the grip of fear. And if you let fear influence you, you will be pushed to do things you should not do, or you'll be afraid to do something that you should do. Secondly, go down against them. God wants you to take steps of faith, believing that God will be with you and will fight for you. He said, go down, but you won't need to do the fighting, that He will do the fighting for you. And then the last point, position yourself. This word position in that scripture means to place something so as to stay put. God wants you to place yourself in the position of faith and stay put. Do not allow the enemy to move you from the position of trusting God for your deliverance. Determine in your heart that you are going to stay put in the position of faith. After receiving this word from the Lord through the prophet, the same word that He's speaking to you right now, King Jehoshaphat bowed and worshiped the Lord. This was a sign that he accepted and he believed the word of the Lord. He didn't argue with the Lord or His messenger, the prophet. He simply accepted it as true. Many times I have seen Christians seek the Lord in a crisis. And then when the word of direction came, whether it was through scripture or godly counsel or a prophetic word, the person argues with God about how his way cannot possibly work. Certainly King Jehoshaphat could have done the exact same thing if he used his natural mind in assessing the matter, because he had a small army in comparison to the number of enemy soldiers that were coming against him. And it didn't make sense to go out there and not fight. But instead of using his natural mind to assess the strategic situation they were in militarily, instead he just trusted God's word and he did not argue with God's method. And that's what you need to do. And then he proceeded to obey the Lord. The next two verses of scripture there, verses 21 and 22, reveal that the king had an understanding of the secret weapon that God has put at our disposal, as well as his. All the people of God have the same secret weapon available if we use it. And here's what it says in 2 Chronicles 20, 21 and 22. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Can you see from this story what turned their situation around? It was their decision to praise God in the middle of their crisis. When they began to sing and to praise the Lord, it was then at that point that God intervened on their behalf and destroyed the enemy that had come against them. This is a powerful biblical spiritual principle. Some people misconstrue this by saying that you should praise God for tragedy and disaster. God is not the author of tragedy or disaster. Jesus taught very clearly in John 10:10 that it was Satan who came to steal, kill, and destroy, but that he came to give us abundant life. So when you choose to praise God in the middle of a crisis, you are praising him for his goodness, his love, and because he is your deliverer, the one who is more than able to overcome the crisis you are facing. This is the example given to us in 2 Chronicles, and we know that it's a key that brought breakthrough to King Jehoshaphat, and it will bring a breakthrough for you as well. God bless you and give you a victorious week.